Continue our study of 1 John, if you want to turn there. We're in the second chapter now. But before we do that, before we get there, I want to bring up a verse from Mark, because I think it's important to understand for the context of 1 John. So in Mark chapter 1, verse 17, Jesus says, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Now, this is the call of Jesus on his disciples, but it's the call of Jesus on all of us, isn't it? Follow me. As a matter of fact, follow me literally means come with me. So Jesus calls his followers to walk with him. He calls his followers to walk alongside him. Now, why is that important? I think it's important because this is the first call of Jesus on his disciples. Does he say, go to church? No. Does he say, go do this, go do that, go? No, he says, come, follow me, walk with me. Now, he does later say, go and make disciples, right? He does tell us that. But that's later. We can't miss the fact that the first thing he says is, come, follow me, walk with me. Because that's what 1 John is going to talk about today. That's what John is going to say, is that if we call ourselves Christian and we call ourselves followers of Christ, then it should show in our lives. We should be walking with Jesus. And that's what he's going to tell us as we look today. So 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 3, and it is up here behind me. This is how we know that we know him, if we keep his commands. The one who says, I have come to know him, and yet doesn't keep his command, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly in him, the love of God is made complete. This is how we know we are in him. The one who says he remains in him should walk just as he walked. So let's kind of work our way through these verses. First, he says that we know that we know him. This is how we know that we know him. And actually, some translations, the ESV, for instance, says this is how we know that we have come to know him. It's kind of confusing in English, but it's very clear in Greek. The Greek is, we know that we know. It's really very clear. Now, in English, the word know means a lot of different things, right? We can say, I know him, and that can mean he's my best friend, I've known him for years, or I know him can mean, well, I've read about him, but I've never met him, or it can mean I recognize his face, but I don't remember his name. It can mean a lot of different things. I know him means so many different things in English. Well, in Greek, they have 12 different words for know, because they separate out all these things. There's a word for knowing someone by book knowledge, or knowing something by book knowledge, but never having done it. There's a word for experiencing, knowing by experience, and that's the word that John is using here. Remember back to chapter 1. John said that he came to know Jesus, and he knew him by, he heard him and could still hear him. He saw him and can still picture him in his mind. He touched him. He knew what Jesus smelled like. He experienced Jesus. And that's what John is telling us here, is that we know Jesus by experience. And then so that's the word he's using. This is how we know by experience that we know him by experience. And then he kind of shifts tenses as well. The first know is in the present active. So this is how we continually know. And the second know, that we know him, is in the perfect tense. Now, perfect tense is something that happened in the past but still has present day ramifications. It's still working today. So in a sense, what John is saying is this is how we continually know that we have come to know him and still know him, by experience. He's leaning on the experience. And then he says, how do we know this? If we keep his commands. Now, Keep and commands are two important words. Keep means to attend to guard, to pay attention to, pay close attention to. And commands, this is not the word for law. This isn't the Ten Commandments. This is the precepts and teachings of Jesus. So we continually attend to the teaching of Jesus. That's what he's saying. So in essence, he's saying a part of our daily experience is walking with Jesus, continually attending to what he says, continually attending to his teachings. We cannot separate our behavior from our belief. And too often in our society, we do that. We have this idea in our society that there is the sacred and there's the secular. Has God not made it all? Is he still not in charge of all of it? We can't say we're Christian and Sunday morning show up to church and live Monday through Saturday like there is no God. And it's easy to do in our culture because our culture draws such lines between sacred and secular. There is no such line in Scripture. No such line. Everything is sacred. Every moment of your life is sacred. Jesus did not hang on a cross to save 10:30 to quarter to noon Sunday morning for you. He died on the cross to save your whole life. Every minute of it, every second of it. And so this is more a literal translation. In this we know by experience that we have come to know him by experience and continue to experience him if we continually attend to his teachings. This is what John is telling us, is that our belief and our behavior should match. Our belief and our behavior has to match. We cannot say we know Christ and live like there is no God. Our behavior and belief have to match. It's about Jesus, isn't it? Experiencing him, walking with him, continually following him. Come follow me. And John kind of magnifies that in the next verse. The one who says, I've come to know him, yet does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth isn't in him. A more literal translation of this would be, the one who says, I have come to know him by experience, and continue to experience him, but does not continually attend to his teachings, is a liar. And in this one, the truth does not exist. This is the same phrase that John used in chapter 1, verse 5, saying that there is no darkness in God, no, not at all, none. Does not exist. In chapter 1, he told us that we cannot say we live in the light while we're living in the darkness. Darkness and light have no fellowship with one another. Darkness and light, you turn the light on, the darkness is dispelled. So that you can't live in one and say you have the other. And that's what he's saying again here. He's saying if you say you know Christ, but you're not following him, you're not experiencing him, and you're living in the darkness, you're living like there is no God, then you're a liar. And the truth is not in you. That's pretty harsh. But it's truth, isn't it? We know this to be true. If we have experienced Jesus, we know this to be true. And then he goes back to the positive. He said, whoever keeps his word truly in him, the love of God is made complete. This is how we know we are in him. Now again, we have this idea of continually attending, keeping his word, continually attending to his word. But I have to tell you, that this phrase, this amazing phrase, the love of God. Now, lots of ink has been spilled over the centuries on what this means. What is the love of God? Is that God's love for us, the love of God? Or is this our love for God, love of God? It can be either, right? Now, doctoral theses have been written on this, on is this love of God mean God's love for us, or does this love of God mean our love for God? And I come down on the side that this is God's love for us. Because in chapter 4 of this same, of 1 John, he says, love is this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us. So we have this idea of reciprocal love. Love is given, it's received, and it's returned. If it's not, if love is given, but it's not received and it's not returned, it's not love. It's infatuation. We'd probably call it stalking today. Love is given, received, and returned. And so God's love comes to us, does work in us, and then goes through us to others. I've said it many times from this platform, but I'll say it again. You are loved so you can be loving. You are forgiven so you can be forgiving. You've been given grace so that you can be gracious. All of this is meant to work not just in you, but through you. And I think that's what John is saying here, that the love of God, God's love for us, is made complete because it's received and it's returned. And it makes a change in a life. This is how we know that we are in him. His love has been received, it's returned, and it's working in our lives. When Jesus was asked the greatest commandment, he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So you want to know if Christ's love, if the love of God is working in you, do you love God and love others? That's what Jesus said. And according to John here, if we're not doing what Jesus said, then we're liars, and the truth isn't in us. Love God, love others. God's love comes to us, does a work in us. It's returned to God, and it's given to others. That's how God's love works. So a more literal translation of this verse would be, but whoever is continually attending to his word, truly in this one, the love of God has been and is being brought to completion. By this we know by experience that we are in Jesus. Now the next verse says, the one who says he remains in him should walk as he walked. Brings back to mind Mark 1:17. Come, follow me. Walk with me. Walk with me. If we are Christian, if we claim to know Christ, then we walk with Christ. Now, he's already dealt with, I'll bring it up, doesn't mean we're sinless. Doesn't mean we still don't stumble. Doesn't mean we still don't make mistakes. He's dealt with that already in chapter 1 and chapter 2, the verses we looked at last week. We have an advocate in Jesus Christ, remember from last week. And in chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. So the expectation here is not that we would be sinless. The expectation is that we would be walking with Christ, that our lives would pattern after Jesus. That's the expectation. So a more literal translation of this word. This verse could read, the one who says that he is living in close relationship in unity with Jesus, that's what it means to be in him or remain in him. But by the way, this in him or remain in him, it's not so much a position. It's not like we're in this room. It is a relationship. It's a close unity. It's a partnership. It's that fellowship idea, that true fellowship idea. So if we are in close unity and fellowship with Christ, we are obligated to live and behave as Jesus lived and behaved. Jesus says it over and over. John says it over and over. Live as you believe. Behave like you believe. We can't separate those two. Love is a verb. It's something we do. And so if we have the love of God, think, just stop and think for a minute what the love of God must be. How big it must be. How powerful it must be. How incredible it must be. That's in us if we know Christ. And so it can't possibly not change you. It has to change the way you behave. It has to change who you are. It has to make you walk as he walked. Come, follow me. That's what John is talking about here. Jesus said again, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love others as yourself. You want evidence that you are a Christian. You want evidence that your salvation is secure and that you are in Christ. That's it. Do you love God with all you are and all you have? And do you love others? That's the evidence that John says should be in our lives. Our behavior will match our belief. Our behavior will match who we believe in. We will walk as Jesus walked. Come, follow me. So I'm going to ask that you bow your heads for a moment. And just consider the question. Do you know him? When you read these verses and see that there should be a difference in your life, that I know that I know him. God wants you to be sure of this. He wants you to know your salvation. He wants you to know his love, his grace, his forgiveness, his mercy. He wants you to know. Do you know him? Because you can this morning. It's a simple prayer. But you can follow along in your own words. Say, God, I know I have sin in my life. I've said things wrong. I've done things wrong. I've thought things wrong. And I know the Bible calls that sin. But I'm going to trust that Jesus died to pay the price for my sin. I'm going to ask you to come into me and that I can be in him, that I can know this power, this love, this grace, this mercy, that I can truly love God with all that I am and all that I have and love others as myself. If you prayed that prayer for the first time this morning, you need to let somebody know. Come and let me know. Elbow your neighbor. Let them know. Maybe this morning you know Christ. But as you think about your last week, are you living like he doesn't exist? Or are you walking with him? Take this moment right here. Ask forgiveness for where you are. You have run out ahead of him or left him behind. And make a commitment between you and him to walk with him. Father, we thank you for this, your word. We thank you that we can walk with Jesus. He's our example. We can see how life works when we walk with him. Remind us each and every day to continue to choose your teachings over the world. To continue to choose walking with you over walking away. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.